Grace and peace to you in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior, the one we worship this holy day. Amen. Our text is the gospel reading, Mark 6, the continuing ministry of our Lord Jesus. We pray as we hear. Lord, you teach us, let him who has ears hear the word of the Lord. May we gladly hear today and believe. Give us your Holy Spirit. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, how are you today? That's a question that we often ask people. You probably already asked that of someone today. How are you today? Or someone asked you, how are you? And my question is a little bit different today. How is your heart today? And more important than that, really, is how is God's heart today? These questions arise from the gospel reading. The gospel reading really shows us the heart of our Lord, and it reveals, at least at this time in Mark 6, the heart of the disciples. So let's today get to the heart of the matter. We learn the disciples' hearts are hardened, but we learn that Jesus' heart is ever so very, very soft. What about your heart? First of all, talk about the hardened hearts of the disciples. We have this interesting, quite alarming little verse that sticks out there where it says, after Jesus comes and calms the storm, and they were utterly astounded, for they did not understand about the loaves because their hearts were hardened. That kind of sticks out to me. It alarms me. The disciples have been with Jesus for quite a long time, and they've ministered with him to all these sick people and preaching and so forth. And yet, because of the loaves is the feeding of the 5,000. That was the gospel reading last Sunday when Jesus fed the 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fish. And because they didn't really understand that, their hearts are hardened. What about your heart? Your heart soft, hard, somewhere in between? There's a warning here. If the disciples' hearts can be hardened, so can ours. They were really, really close to Jesus, yet their hearts are hardened, and it can happen to us. Now, why are their hearts hardened at this moment? Well, one very possible reason is they just stubbornly don't realize who Jesus is. Maybe the Holy Spirit tells us their hearts are hardened because they don't realize that Jesus is God. He is God right there in the midst. They just stubbornly refuse to believe that and to confess that. They think he's some miracle worker, maybe a prophet they don't really know. And Jesus has done miracle after miracle to prove he's God. He's driven out many demons. He heals every sick person who comes to him. You read there at the end of the gospel, they just touch his garment and they're healed. The man heals everybody and anybody of anything. And he also already calmed the storm earlier in Mark, chapter 3, I think it is. He calmed the storm, and the disciples said, who is this? Even the wind and waves obey him. Well, don't you fools know who he is? He's God. And now he's just fed the 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fish. He multiplied a great, great miracle, likened to Moses giving the people manna. He gives them bread and fish. He multiplies it. He's done about everything. But not quite everything. And don't they realize who he is? And so perhaps the Spirit means they just don't realize he's God. They won't confess it. And so they are likened to Pharaoh. We are to think back to Pharaoh, whose heart was hardened against God. God did all those miracles for Pharaoh in Egypt. He sent the 10 plagues, sign after sign. He turned the Nile River to blood, darkness, boils, gnats, everything possible. God is saying, I am God, bow before me. And Pharaoh hardened his heart and wouldn't believe that God was God. And we all know what happened to Pharaoh and his army, don't we? And so beware. Is your heart hard against God, against Jesus? There are many, 3 out of 4 people in the world that still stubbornly will not believe that Jesus is the Son of God, the Savior of the world. And even though they've heard and they've learned, no, he can't be God, he's just a prophet, he's a miracle. He can't be God, my Savior. But perhaps more than them just stubbornly resisting Jesus being God, I kind of believe that the disciples at this moment are a bit angry at Jesus. Jesus has let them down in their eyes. Jesus has disappointed them. He's not quite the king they want him to be, and so they're kind of angry and hardened against him. They're angry at him. John's gospel helps us out a bit here. Not in Mark's version, but in John's gospel, as he records the feeding of the 5,000. John tells us after that miracle, when Jesus fed the 5,000, that the people wanted to make Jesus king. They wanted to force Jesus to be king, which I believe means they wanted to take up arms and go create a revolution. We got 5,000 men. Let's take our clubs and our arms and let's go get rid of the Romans and get rid of all the leaders. Let's set up the kingdom of Jesus. He's the new King David, the new King Solomon. We're going to get rid of all the bad guys. And the people wanted to do that with Jesus, but he withdrew. For that is not his kingdom. So the disciples might be a bit disappointed. Jesus, that was your moment. We had 5,000 men. We are ready. Let's go fight. Let's go kill. Let's go set up your kingdom. Come on, Jesus. But he withdrew. And so they're probably disappointed. Just what kind of king are you, Jesus? He's let them down, if you will. The disciples' minds are on power. They want power. They want popularity. They want possessions. Nice house, three cars, stuff. Power, popularity, possessions. That's what they have in mind. And Jesus, you're going to get us all that. Let's go. And he doesn't do all that. Rather, Jesus hangs around all these poor, pathetic, sick people. And they can never get away from them. They follow him everywhere, these poor, pathetic, sick people that want to touch his garment. And they're being persecuted. The Pharisees and Sadducees want to kill Jesus. This is not what we signed up for. We didn't follow you to be around a bunch of poor, pathetic people that need us all the time and to be persecuted. We want power, possessions, and popularity. So I suggest they're disappointed in Jesus. And so as we sit here in the pew, maybe you're disappointed with Jesus. We never want to admit it, but maybe deep in your heart, I'm kind of mad at God. He hasn't made everything work right in my life. Maybe you're sick. The report's bad. You're not getting better. The pain is worse. Jesus, do something. You're king. Heal me. I hate this pain. And so you're a bit hardened against him. Or perhaps it's a job. You're not making much money. You're barely paying your bills. You're in debt. Jesus, do something. Give me a better job. I need some wealth. I need some money. I need stuff. Come on. I'm poor. But you don't have a better job. And so you're hardened against him. God, do something. I'm mad at you. You haven't blessed me like you blessed them over there. And they're worse than me, by the way. Or maybe it's something in your family. There's a breakup. Tension. Fighting. Divorce. Breakups. Jesus, do something. Fix this whole thing. Change their heart. Change my. Make it work. But you're not. Why aren't you acting, Jesus? Make it all work. Give us peace. But it's not happening. And so it's easy to get a hardened heart against Jesus. Are you really worthy, God? What are you going to do for me? And all the bad guys out there, ISIS and all those bad, terrible people, do something, Lord. Come on, you can zap them with your finger. You did it to Egypt, do it to them. Come on, get rid of all our enemies and give us power, possessions, and popularity. But he doesn't always do that, does he? And so we're left maybe with a hardened heart, confused. What kind of God am I following? Why isn't life better for me? And we ask why. The age-old question, why God, why God, why me, why? Why not them? He's worse than me. Why is it happening to me? Why not to him when he's a worse person than I am? We don't have all the answers to all these things. But we can say this. We Americans live in the now. We are people of the now. I want it right now. Healing, health, wealth, peace right now. And I want it all right now. And we're not so concerned about the later. And our God's the opposite. God's overly concerned about the later, eternal life, eternal health, eternal wealth, eternal peace, glory, heaven, eternity. And he helps us now too to fight the good fight of faith. But not every blessing comes right now automatically. He's not the ATM God. And this is our struggle. I want it now, and God says you get it later. Have faith. And don't be afraid. I'm in the boat, and I'll calm things down when I want to. You just hang with me and stay with me. Rather than asking why, it's kind of a pointless question. I would ask what? What has God done for you? You question God? What's He done for you? Look at a manger, friend, where He lay in a manger for you. Look on a cross where He died for your sins, and then question the love of God for you when He would shed His blood for you on a cross. And look at the empty tomb when He rose again. Our God's acted. Our God's done it, that we have sins forgiven. We have eternal life and the resurrection of our bodies. And don't you dare say God doesn't love you or care about you. Look at what He's done, and then where is this God? He's not far away in the planet somewhere. Our God's in our ears with His word. Our God's in our mouths with His body and blood. And He says, don't be afraid. This is my body. This is my blood. It is I. I'm right here. Your sins are forgiven. Now go in peace. So what's He done? He saved me. Where is He? He's right here with me in the boat, in the church, in my ears, and in my heart, in my mouth. And quit questioning. He's God and you're not. Beware of hard-heartedness. It can lead you away from God. And trust in the soft heart of God. It reveals, this text, the hard-heartedness of the disciples, in spite of all the Lord's done for them. But really the text is about the soft, 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 tender, compassionate heart of our Lord. He's ever so soft towards His people. They are confused, doubting, hardened disciples, and they're out on a boat. And the Lord just wants to go on the mountain and pray and get away for a little while. He knows there's another crowd waiting. And yet He comes to the disciples. Note His tender, soft heart. He walks on the water to His disciples. They can't go to Him. They're stuck on the lake with a wind. But He comes to them. He gets in the boat with them. He doesn't rebuke them, which I would have done. You bunch of fools, have fun with the boat yourself. Have fun with the wind yourself. I'm going up on the mountain and praying. Good luck by yourself. You don't want me, I don't want you either. Get out of here. I'll find some new disciples if you don't believe in me. And your heart, and I disappoint you. I'll go get other guys. Bye. Good luck in your life. That's what you and I would have done. But not Jesus. No rebuke, no leaving them, no forsaking them. He gets in the boat. And oh, the words. Take heart. There's heart again. Have a different heart. Take heart. Don't be so hardened in your heart. Believe. It is I. Do not be afraid. Take heart. It is I. Do not be afraid. Say it with me. Take heart. It is I. Do not be afraid. They stand out in the text. The soft heart of the Lord for hard-hearted sinners. The it is I is literally I am. He says, take heart. I am. Don't be afraid. The I am is to recall the Exodus again, where Moses asked God, who are you? And God said from the burning bush, if you recall the story, I am that I am. And so Christ is saying to His disciples again, He's done this before, but again, I am God. I am here for you. I love you. I forgive you. I am that I am. Let's go over it again. Let's go over it again and go over it again. I'll calm the storm again. I'll do more miracles. I am that I am. I am your God. Now get it in your heads and believe and don't be afraid. God always repeats forgiveness and love, because we don't want to believe it. And so we repeat absolution. We repeat the Lord's Supper. We repeat the Word of God. Why? Because we don't believe it. And we want a different God. And God says, here's my gifts. The forgiveness of your sins. And the gift of the Spirit. And eternal life and resurrection. And my power and love with you to face whatever storm you have to face. What a God we have. And what a soft heart. This story of walking on the water and they think He's a ghost, it foreshadows Easter. The disciples will be in a major storm on Good Friday and Holy Saturday. But on Easter, the Lord will come to them. And remember, they think He's a ghost, don't they? And they're terrified of Him. And He says there, peace be with you. It is I. Touch me. I'm flesh and bone. I'm not a ghost. And I bring peace. So don't be afraid anymore. I've conquered death and hell and sin. What are you afraid of? ISIS, your job, your money, your health. Come on. I take care of everything for you. And it recalls the last day for us. Foreshadows the last day. When the church will be in a storm. The wind's against us. We're not making any progress. We're actually not going backwards, it seems. But He will come to us. and say, it is I. Come to heaven. The storm is over. So don't be afraid, friend. Don't be afraid, little flock. He's in the boat. He says, take courage. I've overcome all things for you. It is good that he heals diseases. It's good that he feeds 5,000 people. He drives out demons. He walks on water. He calms storms. All that's fine and good. He's come to do something better and bigger. And that's to take away sin, death, and hell, that we live forever. He has a bigger idea than you and I and the disciples ever have. To give us eternal life, not just a decent life here on this earth. He can heal all our diseases right now when we have no prayer list. But guess what? We're all going to die of something in 5 or 10 or 20 years anyway. And what about that? And if we don't have Christ and the forgiveness of sins, we all go to hell. Though I live 10 years longer here on this pathetic earth. Who wants that? And he can give me all the health and wealth I want. But if I don't have faith in him and eternal life, I die and go to hell and have nothing. So what does all that mean? It's vanity, as Solomon would say, we learned in Bible class. He can get rid of all my enemies. Get rid of all the bad guys. But if he doesn't conquer the devil and the demons in hell, then I go to hell with many enemies. Waiting for me. You like Donald Trump? He's been in the news. The news media say, and people say, he's got guts, Donald Trump. He says the way it should be said. He's brash. He's got guts. He might get it done for us. Ha, ha, ha. You want to know some of you has guts? Look at the Son of God. He's got guts. He spills his guts on a cross for you. He's one who got it done. He doesn't say, I'm going to get it done. He got it done. He died and said, it's finished. He rose again. It's done. We're reconciled. We have eternal life. Our names are written in heaven. Now there's the king we want. Lessons. Beware of a hard heart. And ever believe in the soft heart of God for you. That's the heart of the matter. Amen. We stand.